This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today our guest is Ben DeCostanzo. Ben is a broker with Walsh Trading in Chicago. He'll join us in a moment. Our focus today, livestock, but before that, let's go to Jackson Hole, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, Kevin Warsh.
Now, certain sectors, like housing and agriculture, are showing strains, but on balance, I would be hard-pressed to describe broad financial conditions as restrictive. Real consumer spending has been healthy despite these shocks, increasing more than 2% over the past four quarters. If you combine consumption with the brisk investment we talked about earlier, private domestic financial purchases have also risen. These purchases have increased at a pace of nearly 3% or so far this year. That's a measure that typically carries more signal than GDP. Trend here, too. Positive.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, we're joined by Ben DeCostanzo, broker, Walsh Trading, Chicago. Ben, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tony.
All right. Before we jump in, tell us a little about Walsh Trading. Who are you and what do you do?
Well, we're a commodity brokerage firm located in Chicago. We're right across the street from the Sears Tower. And we've been in business since the 1990s. I've been with Walsh since 2013. And, you know, I work with farmers and I work with ranchers in the grain and livestock markets.
Okay, little background. That's Walsh now. What about you? How'd you end up there? Did you grow up in ag or did you just get to
I'm actually from New York. I got started working at a Salomon Brothers, a blind trading house back in the late 70s when I was in college at Pace University in Manhattan. And they transferred me out to Chicago, and I worked at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. And then I got into the retail side of it, working with farmers and ranchers and other people that wanted to trade the commodity markets. And then I got that loss in 2013, and the focus has been on farmers and ranchers looking at the grain and livestock markets.
Well, you got to experience one heck of a bull market on the cattle side. Is it safe to say that we're out of the bull market, but not quite yet into a bear?
I think that's pretty close. I mean, you can never tell for sure because, anything can happen. I mean, we still fundamentally have very tight supplies. And with beef demand remaining pretty strong, in my opinion, we could see another run higher. How high that goes, that's left to be determined.
Well, you mentioned the fundamentals. Really, they haven't changed. Nothing that I look at on the fundamental side here has changed. You still have the tightest inventory we've had. You have great demand, and we're not rebuilding the herd. So if all of that has remained the same, what's changed and led to our lower prices here?
Well, one word, politics. You got a president that keeps hearing stories about how high beef prices are, and he feels the need to do something, and he makes comments and does things that are trying, in an attempt, I imagine, to bring beef prices down, but that hasn't worked because you see beef prices haven't gone anywhere, yet cattle prices, you don't have a beef contract, cutout contract, so everybody is selling futures in the cattle markets because of the politics that are going on in here, where people want to say, I want lower beef prices, and somebody feels they have to do something about it instead of letting the market decide, because beef demand is strong, so prices can't be that high.
We're talking with Ben DeCostanzo, broker with Walsh Trading, on the Agribusiness Report.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Our guest today, Ben DiCostanzo, broker with Walsh Trading in Chicago. Ben, we've got buyers and sellers when it comes to the cattle market. Buyers and sellers in the market provide that liquidity, but then we have buyers and sellers actually involved in the industry. And for them, they have to be in the markets. So how do they navigate? How do they work through this?
Well, quite frankly, it's been difficult for them to do that. But now with futures trading at such a steep discount to where the cash market is, it's hard for anybody to put protections on at a reasonable level. And it just creates even more problems for the producer because, you know, futures prices just are lagging, and it doesn't give them any opportunity to protect themselves.
Yeah, that was the next question I was going to have for you is, you know, we had quite a disconnect between the cash price and the front month futures in the fat cattle. At times, $15, yeah. A $15 discount on that front month futures, even within a week of expiration. So were the futures trying to predict where we were going, or were they maybe pulling that cash down?
It is my belief that they were pulling the cash down. When the futures are trading lower, you know, ranchers see that, their feedlots see that, all the sellers see that, and so does the packer. And, you know, obviously the packer, if the futures are crashing, then they're not going to be aggressive in bidding. And, you know, the producers going, oh, what, you know, what's next? And so the price just comes down because packer backs up, and, you know, it's like a, cascading situation where, you know, the futures keep going, and so do the cash. And then you go, who came first?
Yeah, almost the chicken or egg. Which one was here first, right? Well, let's look, and again, we look at the cattle market, and August was a brutal month. Are we at a point, and I know I'm asking you to kind of look in the crystal ball, but are we at a place where things can recover, or do we need to start preparing for trading in these lower areas? I mean, you start looking at the board and starting to lose the 300 mark on some of these contracts. It's been a while since we've been below three.
Well, that's not really, you know, a great, situation for anybody. And it's a tough one to answer because the reality is we don't have the numbers. Okay, if you want to be in the business, you got to buy cattle. And if you want to buy cattle and you can't find cattle, you got to pay what the prevailing price is, and if the seller doesn't want to sell at that price, you got to bid until he wants to sell. And I think with the tight supplies, that the likelihood, that not saying it's going to happen, that we're going to see a recovery in the markets. We may not make it to the highs, but it all depends on how tight these supplies really are as we get into the winter time frame. From everything that I talk to with my customers and with other people in the business, we're going to be very, very short cattle going forward. You saw the numbers on the placements that have gone into the feedlots. I mean, that implies that we just don't have the cattle out there for people to to sell for food back out in the December, February timeframe. So I think we could see the market come back, but that's just my opinion. It's as opposed to fact. We'll find that out when that time comes. I mean, everybody says that the packer now has control of the markets again, but just like they lost it, that can happen also. I mean, we're putting more weights on these cattle, and we need more weight, and it's not nearly enough to make up the difference, no matter all the imports that we're bringing in. And remember, last year we had record imports, and beef prices made cattle prices made their all-time highs. So we're adding more. We're supposed to be over $6 billion in imports this year. We still could see a surprise, going forward in the market trade higher. That doesn't mean we won't touch below, 200 in the live cattle and, in the nearbys, really test. I mean, this area that we're in right now in the futures is critical. I mean, if we can form a base here and the market, starts trading higher, that'll be a positive for the market. But if we break down, you could see us challenge those lows that we made back in November. And then, maybe we can get a bump, in price after that.
Again, they're the fundamentals look so good for prices to move higher at some point, especially with the dry conditions, lack of hay. It's going to be an uphill climb for some of those producers to even hold on to what they have, much less start rebuilding the herd. Before we go, though, let's touch on the hog trade as well. I kept waiting for hogs to take advantage of this move lower. They just haven't done it, have they?
No, and it's tough. I look at the hogs as the middle child. You got beef, the cattle, they're the premium. That's what everybody wants. That's what everybody desires. And then you got chicken, which is a commodity. Everybody buys chicken because it's cheap and it's got protein. And then you got the middle child there, the hog market. And everybody sits there and goes, well, they should be more like beef, but they're kind of more like chicken. And so you see a big problem, from a perspective, especially with the young people. They seem to be trying to stay away from pork, and that's not allowing, the cutouts to continue to go higher. They hit a wall every time they get slightly above 100, and then boom, they break down into the 90s, and it just keeps these markets, in a tough situation where it's really going nowhere.
Yeah, and you've had a lot of pressure there in the hams. I think the bellies have tried to recover a bit.
And they have.
Definitely some issues.
Yeah, and that's just it. I call that, food candy. And, everybody loves to eat bacon and stuff, and it still hasn't helped. You haven't seen a major run in the belly all summer. We've had a decent recovery, but nothing spectacular. And anytime you get a big rally in the morning, they always take it away in the afternoon. So it's been tough.
Talking with Ben DiCostanzo, broker with Walsh Trading, on the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Our guest today, Ben DiCostanzo, broker with Walsh Trading. Ben, how do we find you?
Well, you can go to our website, which is www.walshtrading.com, and you can also email me at bdcostanzo at wallstrading.com, or you can call my phone number, 312-957-4163.
There you go. Ben DeCostanzo is a broker with Walsh Trading, and he joins us on today's Agribusiness Report.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Kevin Warsh is chairman of the Federal Reserve.
Expectations for both growth in CapEx and corporate earnings are running quite high. I continue to watch the change in the growth rates, the second derivative, follow-on effects on asset prices, business confidence, consumer incomes and spending are equally important to gauge. Credit spreads on corporate bonds and leveraged loans are near the low end of their historical averages. And issue volumes this year, quite strong. Looking beyond fixed income markets to the banking business, in the July so-called SLUS survey, banks tell us that standards for C&I loans on the easier end of their historical ranges. That helps explain their growth that we've seen this year in these loans. In my view, credit and loan markets are showing few signs of policy restraint.
It's the Agribusiness Report.